Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mark Ziegler joins us now from the San Diego Union-Tribune on the SDCCU fan hotline. And Mark, I you know, every time I see Kawhi Leonard, last night he was 16 for 16 at the free throw line. I don't know that he ever made 16 free throws in his Aztec career. And I'm joking, obviously, but he certainly wasn't a 100% free throw shooter like that. We want to go back a little. You wrote a little something about how Kawhi got to the Aztecs, and just take us through the different world of Kawhi Leonard, I guess, back then as opposed to now.
Well, he's a first of all, thanks for having me on. He was a guy who in high school, his first year, he went to Canyon Springs in Moreno Valley, didn't play basketball because his mom, single mom, couldn't get him to tryouts. Coach had a no tryout, no play rule. He was really strict about it, so he never played. He was not under the radar by the time he was a senior, but, you know, he kind of quietly emerged. And that's kind of been the way he's been his whole career. You know, the interesting thing about him is, you know, you see him in these games, and he is, like you said, he's got 34 and 14 last night or whatever the numbers were. I mean, that's a huge game, but there's no showmanship to it. He just, very quiet, workmanlike out there. And that's kind of the way he was in high school. He just went about his business. He wasn't a self-promoter. And, you know, some people noticed him, San Diego State, and some people didn't, everyone else. And he ended up in San Diego State.
Well, Mark, clearly San Diego State looks like geniuses because they find this guy that not everybody was on. And the more you see him on the big stage, the more that becomes more apparent. How did a school like San Diego State end up with a guy like Kawhi?
Well, I mean, it's easy to say everyone else missed on the evaluation, and that's partially true. But you also have to realize that year there was a really, really good crop of kind of wing, you know, 3-4 guys in Southern California. And Arizona, USC, and UCLA are sort of the three big Southern California recruiters, and they kind of took their pick of the other guys. And they thought Kawhi was terrible. They just couldn't decide. They thought he was a little bit small for a four-man and not skilled to be a three-man. They didn't know where he'd play. So they took guys that were kind of more known quantities, a little bit higher rank. And all three of those guys ended up getting drafted. Now, of course, they didn't have the careers that Kawhi did. Those three guys were Derek Williams, who actually was the number two pick in the draft the year that Kawhi went number 15. Solomon Hill, who committed to USC and then ended up going to Arizona, and he was like a 23rd pick. He stayed a couple extra years. And then Tyler Honeycutt, who went to UCLA, was picked 35th in the same draft as Williams and Kawhi. So it wasn't like these guys were chopped liver, but you know, the biggest thing to me was that back then, this notion of positionless basketball wasn't as prevalent as it is now. And now I think a guy like Kawhi, they just say, we'll find a way to get him on the floor. But Steve Fisher, Brian Dutcher, and that staff were way ahead of their time, and they just recruited guys and athletes and players and said, we'll figure out how to get them on the floor. We got to put five of these guys on the floor together. We'll do it. I'm going to put my five best guys on the floor, and we'll figure out the positions later.
Mark Ziegler is with us from the San Diego Union-Tribune talking about Kawhi Leonard and his days here in San Diego with the Aztecs. Mark, you watched him as close as anybody. You covered him. You interviewed him before and after and during games. There was something special about him. We knew he had this workaholic factor, but what I saw just never led me to believe that he could be this good. And I'm just curious, is there anybody really back then who thought he's going into the NBA and he's going to someday be a star once he like just figures it all out? Because it didn't seem like he had a good enough shot. And without that, I just didn't think with all of his great athleticism, he'd be able to do enough at the NBA level.
You know, and if you talk to the San Diego State coaches, the guys who recruited him, the guys who had him, and they all admit, they go, look, we thought he'd be an NBA player. We're going to give ourselves credit for that. But we did not, and no way can you foresee a guy being top five player in the world. And I think, and a lot of people are starting to think this too, he's the best two-way player in the game right now and will be for the next few years. But the thing they realized was they, and I heard a great story from Dave Velasquez, one of the assistant coaches, is, you know, the players come in the summer. And they had it back then, they had to take these sort of entry, and I don't know if you had to do this tea or not, but they take these entry math and English classes before they start the regular semester. And they were early in the morning, and one of his job was to go wake up the players and take them to this class. Yes, you know what I'm talking about?
Yep, yep.
Well, normally that meant knocking on, banging on the guy's door 25 times at 8 in the morning. With Kawhi, it meant going over to Peterson Gym and dragging him out, sweat-soaked, and taking him to class because he was already in the gym. They knew in that summer this guy was different. And, you know, yes, his shot was a little bit, you know, it was kind of jacked up. It was, he slung it from behind his head. But, you know, when he, after a year or two, the NBA, it's interesting. You talk to scouts, they don't look at three-point shooting percentages as much in terms of projecting whether a guy's going to be able to shoot in the NBA as much as they do free throw percentage. Because free throw percentage tells you it's a repeatable stroke. If they can repeat something, they have muscle memory. And so his free throw shooting wasn't terrible, and it improved quite a bit. His three-point shooting wasn't great. But that told him that, hey, we can fix this shot, and he's got the work ethic, and the focus, concentration, and also the repeatable muscle memory stroke to when we give him better stroke, to be a pretty good shooter. And so I think that's what really encouraged the Spurs to draft him and take a chance on fixing the shot.
Mark, is there an expiration date on the type of recruiting pick-me-up you get from a guy like Kawhi Leonard? Because obviously he's been in the league now for quite some time, and although his stardom is rising, you know, the further away he gets from college, the easier it is to forget where he went. Do you think San Diego State is still benefiting from a guy like Kawhi being in the NBA and playing as well as he does?
Yeah, you know, and I hear, because when I talk to the recruits, you know, when they get a recruit and I call them up and they commit and I ask why he came to San Diego State, if it's a point guard, maybe not, but anybody 6'5 or over, the first thing they say is, well, you know, I really like what they did with Kawhi because the coaching staff's still there. I think if the coaching staff really changed, if Dutcher, Velasquez, you know, there weren't these links to the past, Mark Fisher, then maybe, okay, it changed a little bit. Because the coaching staff, the continuity they've had, Steve Fisher's still around, I think they can sell that, and I think they still do. Keyshawn Johnson, the only incoming freshman they have in next year's class, 100% is Kawhi Leonard. Hey, look what they did. I'm the same kind of guy. I work hard. I put my head down, a little bit under the radar in terms of national recruiting. I've got a 6'7 athletic body, and I've got this huge hunger inside of me. I think they're the right fit because of what they did with Kawhi, and that was a huge part of their recruitment. So, yeah, I, you know, maybe not as much as it first did, but until he retires, I still think it helps. I mean, I'm sure Carolina still sells Michael Jordan. I mean, why? I would too. So I don't think it ever goes away, but maybe it'll dissipate once he retires and they don't see him playing. But right now, boy, it's a huge help because anytime you see him on TV, they say Kawhi Leonard of San Diego State, and that's a huge help for them.
Yeah, yeah, I certainly think about it. I mean, I take a little pride every time he does something, and I have nothing to do with the basketball program other than to be a fan of the team. But I think all the Aztecs do. Mark Ziegler is with us talking a little Kawhi Leonard, SDCCU fan hotline. I know nobody can predict this because I don't think Kawhi even knows. But knowing what you know, do you think there's a decent chance that regardless of what happens in this final series, Mark, he comes back to Southern California to play in the NBA since this is his hometown and where he grew up and his family and everybody's here? Or do you think he would still entertain the thought of staying up there?
I think the more the playoffs have gone on, I'd be interested to hear what you think about this, Steve, because I think what's happened in these playoffs is kind of a bonding thing with teammates. When you hit a shot like he hit in Game 7, when you come back and win a series like they did, you know, against the Bucks, I'm kind of getting chills thinking about it. I mean, that was pretty impressive. And he did it, you know, he was injured and he sucked it up for his team. I think that's a bonding kind of kinship-type experience that is going to make him want to stay. I think the people around him want to get back to Southern California. His mother's from here. The mother of his daughter is from here. You know, his friends are from here. His uncle, who is his business manager, he's from here. But Kawhi doesn't care about that. He wants to win. That's what he's all about in the NBA. He wants to win rings. He doesn't want to win MVP trophies. He doesn't want to be on the cover of magazines. He wants to win rings. And that's how he defines himself as an athlete. And I think what they've gone through is just, I think he's going to stay. And, you know, there's a report at Toronto today, no way to verify it yet, that he bought some property in Toronto. Don't know what it is or where, but that's kind of, you know, the hot news today. And I could see him doing like LeBron did and maybe getting one of those two-year deals with an opt-out clause and just giving it another couple years and see how it goes. And then he can always come to the Clippers. They're always going to want him. But I just think there's something about that city. It's a special place. And until I went there, I heard about it when I went there in December and hung out for a couple of days with them and their team and Kawhi. I really get the feel that it's a special place and he appreciates it. So, you know, certainly if they win the championship, I don't think he's going anywhere. But I think just getting to the finals is enough to keep him there for a couple of years. Could be wrong. He's a tough guy to read, but that's kind of my feel right now.
Mark, a couple of things. First of all, you hurt my feelings because you didn't say the Lakers at all. You just said the Clippers and moved right along.
Second, okay, let me tell you something about that. Let me tell you something. Everyone thinks Lakers, Lakers, Lakers. Kawhi grew up a Lakers fan. He's from Southern California. Little known, or maybe it isn't, but it should be known, he did not grow up a Lakers fan. He did not like the Lakers growing up. Uh-huh. He's an AI fan. He grew up Allen Iverson fan.
He was mad at us then. He was mad at
Lakers. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
And you know, I think one of the reasons, you know, he wears cornrows is because of Allen Iverson and the 76ers. And, you know, I think if there was like a dream childhood team, I think he's beyond that now, but it would be the Sixers because of that. So that's why I think the Lakers are a bigger player because he wasn't a I mean, the Clippers are a bigger player because he wasn't a Lakers guy growing up.
The other thing was you mentioned about him not caring about MVPs. He reiterated that the other day in that press conference. I think a question came out of the crowd about him ascending to being one of the best players. He said, I don't really care. I just want to win championships. But I got to ask you a little bit real quick about what you think of the Aztecs hire of Chris Acker from Boise State.
Hey, I think it's a really, really, really good hire. Mm. I mean, I can't say really well enough, long enough. I mean, if you look at what they needed, when I heard kind of the job description of the type of guy they wanted, younger, defensive coordinator type, real strong, vocal presence, Southern California recruiting ties, knows the league. I'm like, well, that guy doesn't exist. Well, if he does, it's Dustin Hudson. He's at Fresno State and he's the head coach. He's not coming back. Well, they found the guy, and I spoke with him yesterday on the phone, and really, really great guy, articulate. You can tell he has some strong opinions about how the game's played, and he's not afraid to share them with the players. He already knows a couple of players, and Malachi Flynn and Matt Mitchell. He recruited them, so he's got a relationship with them already. That will help the transition. And I think, you know, I thought Rod Palmer was a good hire last year, but he just took him a little bit longer, maybe because he was a little bit older, to kind of find his voice in practice and earn the respect of the players and be able to do them a little bit. That was kind of missing when Justin Hudson left. And I think Acker is going to be the guy who can bring that back a little bit. And everywhere he's been the last couple stops, Hawaii and Boise, he's really helped the defense and he's really helped on the player development side, getting guys to take big jumps from one year to the next. He did that with a couple guys at Boise and a guy in Hawaii, all of whom got NBA looks. So I think are going to get NBA looks. And so I just think he's a fit. And I know the staff is, you know, they're going to say, oh, we're excited about the hire with anybody. But I know deep down they're really excited about it. So I think it could be a pretty good fit.
Hope you are correct, Mr. Ziegler. Great talking to you. As always, enjoy the rest of the NBA Finals. Thanks for your great insight. I always feel like I know a whole lot more after I talk to you than I did beforehand. And we'll see you soon.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. My pleasure. Talk to you guys.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sometimes there's not enough time in the day to talk all the sports we want.
I feel reborn. I'm like a phoenix.
Settle in and saddle up. The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Big Five is brought to you by Eco Water Treatment System for anywhere you drink water. Scraby?
Thank you very much. I am going to start by saying we need to go to 973thefansd.com because Franmil Reyes needs to be in the home run derby And here at 97.3 The Fan, we are trying to lead the charge on getting him to the Home Run Derby.
Wait, did I not see the thing say five?
Yes, but I believe that was top available.
Okay, so I stand corrected.
The Tigers have selected outfielder Riley Green, who...
Who the Padres were supposedly taking.
In my mock drafts that I was paying attention to, the Padres were... Thomas is laughing, but I really did look at these. But they were supposed to take Riley Green.
The Padres were very high on him. So the Padres are on the clock now.
And, we'll watch it.
They'll make their pick shortly.
But in the meantime, go to 97.3thefansd.com and find my blog on Framil Reyes getting to the Home Run Derby, because I have the link in there for you and all that good stuff. So let's make that happen. All right, let's get to it, Thomas.
Number five.
The breaking news I teased before we went to break was that Kawhi Leonard is suing Nike. We kind of made a joke about it last week that he is a New Balance guy, but he left Nike for a reason, and he's suing Nike for copyrighting a logo he allegedly designed. Now, according to the lawsuit filed in the U.S. District Court in Southern California, Nike copyrighted the logo without Kawhi's consent. They are saying that after 2011, when Kawhi was drafted, he designed the logo using his big hand and then his initials K and the L, and then when he signed with Nike, they allowed him to use it on certain merchandise. Or he allowed them to use it on certain merchandise. But anyway, long story short, is Kawhi's going to go through a kind of probably messy lawsuit here that was filed today during the NBA Finals.
Kawhi's not going to do anything.
My question for you, Chris, do you think this is an unnecessary distraction for him during the finals with all the questions? You know,
no,
people are going to make this a big
deal.
They
can ask him a question or something. He's not going to go through any of this. His lawyers will go through all of this. So I don't think this will be any kind of distraction. Kawhi Leonard's going to get distracted? You kidding me? Have you ever seen this guy?
Good point.
I don't think anything's going to distract him. No matter what he's doing, where he's doing it, when he's doing it, it's probably something that one of his people thinks is a good idea. And he probably said, all right, go for it. Just don't let me in on it because I got things to do.
Tony, what do you think? Is this going to be a distraction for Kawhi?
No. I think first and foremost, I think Nike felt some hesitation because his contract ended at the end of last season. And remember, he didn't play a whole lot. So I think the Nike was a little unsure if he was going to be healthy, what was going on. Nobody really knew about this injury. So that's why they ended up parting ways. They couldn't come to agreement on terms. But I think Kawhi is in his right to do whatever he has to do, especially if he designed the logo himself. You can't just let... See, the problem with being so soft-spoken and very rarely speaking is that people think they can walk over you. They think you're a pushover. And sometimes you got to make moves like this just to show that you can't be pushed over, although you don't necessarily want to be in front of cameras and talk all the time.
Yeah, I get
but
that.
I don't think it'll be a distraction
totally
at all.
Right. Nothing can distract Kawhi Leonard. I honestly just don't think it's possible to even do that. I think you could honestly walk, you know, a nude model right behind the basket while he's shooting a free throw, and I don't
he
think he'd
notice.
See her.
Here's the thing. He said it in the press conference. Somebody asked him the other day about how he handles guys trash talking him, and he kind of sat back and pondered for a second. He was like, doesn't really happen very often, and the reason why is because it's a waste of time for him.
Yeah,
they're wasting more energy trying to get him to talk than the other way around.
Either that, or they trash talk and he doesn't even notice it,
right?
Which is highly possible as well. When you see they're going to Oakland now, but the first two games, every time they pan the camera past half court and they show the Raptor logo right there on the middle of the floor, I just think of Kawhi's hand.
Right?
It's the same size as that logo on the floor. Guy's unbelievable.
That's our Raptor sounder that I've been meaning to use all day.
Oh, you've been dying for that.
I've been dying. The pick is in. We're waiting on it, but let's get to number four in the meantime. The Padres pick is in.
Okay.
Warriors Andre Iguodala drained the game-clinching three last night, and many
Game-clinching?
Clinching, not quenching. That would
it's
be
thirsty
that would
out
be,
there.
Yeah, it would be quenching a thirst, but no, he clinched the game-winning three last night. Many people were surprised he was the one to take the shot. In fact, Steph Curry said that the defense the Raptors played was offensive.
So it was janky, was his word.
Janky, that's the word. Janky, I love that.
How's that spelled?
J-A-N-K-Y,
that's
maybe?
What I would go with.
But, yeah, janky. Oh, man, I used that so much in high school. Andre Iguodala has been injured, and he's actually was asked after the game why he continues to play through the injury.
Everything you guys have overcome, all the championships you've won, what motivates you to keep going to play hurt at this point in your career?
I like Steph. He's a good dude. Good guy to be around. That's really the only reason why I like playing basketball.
You want him to win? Like that's what it is?
Yeah, they I've never seen him in person. Like, so such a good person to ever get some backlash or whatever from other his peers because they're so jealous of what he has. So he's kind of sticking it to him. So I'm trying to do whatever it takes to protect his legacy.
So, Andre Iguodala is trying to protect his legacy by playing injured. Well, the haters were out, and I saw tweets this morning saying that if this were LeBron, the narrative would be much different. The narrative would be that that LeBron needs help, which is why, they're saying that Andre Iguodala is going... You guys are both giving me this look.
I'm genuinely listening to what you're saying.
The narrative, they're saying that if someone was saying about this about LeBron, all the critics would say, well, that's because LeBron needs help. But no one's saying that about Steph, even though Andre Iguodala is, you know what I'm saying? Am I making this clear?
I got you.
All right, thank you. I felt like
What's
it was
your question?
Not. Chris
Hang
has
on
a question.
Second. I have no idea where he's going with this. So, Tony, you're going to have to explain.
I haven't
to
heard
me
the
while
question yet.
The question is, Tony, is this a stretch for people to say the narrative would have been different if it was LeBron, or is this the truth?
What is the narrative?
The narrative is that LeBron, if Andre Iguodala would have said this about LeBron, all the critics would have been like, well, duh, because LeBron needs people around him to win. No one's saying that about Steph Curry.
That he needs people around him. That
yes.
Here's what I will say. I think, ultimately, what Andre Iguodala is trying to say is correct. What he said was very correct. The fact that, and I think it's important that you catch the words peers, because he didn't say fans, he said peers, which means the guys that are in the NBA, the guys that have played in the NBA, I think they look at Steph, and because he's a nice dude, and because he's smiling all the time and having a good time on the court, that rubs people the wrong way for whatever reason. He's never, again, and you can say the same thing about LeBron. They're never in trouble. They're never in the news for anything negative. They always are looking to help and help others who are less fortunate. So it's really one and the same, and the narrative would be different if it was LeBron. And I think that goes back to his days of the decision. Or was that what it was called, the decision?
Yeah, yeah.
It still spurs from all of that, and people hate on LeBron, and they say he needs help. But the fact is, both of these guys are going to go down as some of the best basketball players to ever do it.
Chris?
I am thoroughly 100% the most I've ever been confused in the history of the show.
I don't really know what's confusing.
Because I don't know what you're talking about. What is Andre Iguodala? Is he sticking up for Steph Curry? Is he saying he's playing because
he's
Steph
playing.
Curry needs to win?
He's saying he's playing because he wants to protect Steph's legacy. And if as long as he's winning,
and Scraby is making this up, that if he was saying it,
well, no,
because
I wasn't
he wanted
making
this,
it up. I said I saw on
you
Twitter.
Are making
that,
it
no,
up.
I said
who's,
I saw.
Who said that he's? Who's ever said anything about playing for LeBron's legacy? Nobody.
That's not what we're talking about. All right, let's move on.
Yes, please.
I'm going to get angry.
We have to move on because I really don't know where you're going here. I have no clue.
Number three.
I mean, they say that the pick is in, but that was like 7 minutes ago, so I don't know what the heck is going on at the Major League Baseball draft.
Oh, here it comes.
Oh, here it comes.
The
All right.
Stop. Wait, stop
you,
the
You guys
big
take it
five.
Over.
This is stop the big five, Thomas. Thank you. San Diego Padres with the sixth selection in the 2019 Major League Draft have selected shortstop C.J. Abrams, a high school player from Georgia. Okay, Thomas, please continue the big five.
Real quick, Bleacher Reports gives us the comp for this C.J. Abrams, D. Gordon, our buddy.
Oh, similar to D. Gordon.
That is the comp he was given.
All right.
A shortstop,
was that D in the background there?
Yeah,
it was. Okay, well, thank you, D.
When we asked him if he still eats bad like you did when you play with him, he said.
Yeah.
shortstop,
the kid
that's interesting.
The kid they're showing the kid right now. He looks like a young Michael Jackson.
What?
If he moonwalked right now, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Here's the thing. High school shortstop especially, that usually means they're the best athlete on the field, which means if they need to, and it's likely they will because they have a dude named Fernando Tatis Jr., and if C.J. Abrams is able to get there, that is a guy who can be moved to other positions. So this is, I don't know anything about the kid, but based on these highlights I'm seeing, I like what I'm seeing.
You know, they hardly ever show highlights of kids making an error on the draft shows. Just wanted to point that out.
Man, we
Thank you for pointing that out.
We are very positive today.
All right, so they got C.J. Abrams. There you go.
Yes.
High school kid.
Blessed Trinity Catholic. Name of the high school he went to.
In Georgia.
In Georgia.
And he looks like Michael Jackson.
Fernando Tatis.
And he looks like a young Mike.
Fernando Tatis, better watch out, man. Better get that hamstring in order. I'm kidding.
Number three.
Yes, number three. Nationals ace pitcher Max Scherzer had his start of the year yesterday in Cincinnati against the Reds, striking out 15 in 8 innings pitched. He got to 15 strikeouts because he refused to be taken out. Nationals manager Davey Martinez looked to be headed to the mound to take Scherzer out with 2 outs in the 7th and at 117 pitches, but Scherzer looked back towards the dugout and just said, no, just like that. Do you guys see this on TV?
No.
He went, no. Like that. So Davey Martinez didn't go out there, didn't get him. And Scherzer then struck out Joey Votto on 3 straight pitches looking. So it was good that they left him in there. But there was a runner on second with 2 outs. And Joey Votto, we all know, is a dangerous hitter coming to the plate. Chris, do you think Scherzer was showing up his manager?
No.
good answer.
You know what? I think there's certain situations where that would be showing up your manager if, like, your manager was somebody who deserved to be respected and had actually done something and won something. I think Davey Martinez is a lousy manager. I don't think he really even deserves his job based on how poorly his team performed last year and how poorly they performed this year. I think Max Scherzer knows a whole lot more about himself than Davey Martinez does. So, in this particular case, I think Max Scherzer had every right to do it, although probably not something every pitcher can get away with.
Tony, do you think that Max Scherzer, that's a really hard name, Max
Scherzer,
is showing up his manager by telling him no?
Yes, he is.
Nice.
He absolutely is. Now, what Chris said is true, that some pitchers can get away with it, but that doesn't mean that he didn't show his manager up when he walked out of the dugout and said no. But it doesn't surprise me, though, that Chris would be okay with this, because he also has done something very similar to both of the guys we played for at San Diego State.
I was a pitcher. I did not like to be taken out of a game, especially when I was shutting out the other team and there was a guy on base. Let me get out of it.
Well, there you go. That's how Scherzer felt, and in both cases, well, I don't know, but were you allowed to stay in after?
No, God, I was grabbed by the neck
no.
and yanked off the field. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but Scherzer, listen, as I said, it's showing him up, but there are pitchers that, no matter who the manager is, would walk back in, and I don't think Dave Martinez is alone. I think pretty much every coach, if Max Scherzer yelled no, probably would go back in.
Yeah, you think Bruce
still
Bochy
showing
would,
him up.
You think Bruce Bochy would be like, all right, I'm good, I'm going to go back.
He might be one that I have a hard time seeing go backwards.
He's like, well, you just said that, so you're coming out because you told me that.
Yeah, I don't know if he would say it in those
No, he wouldn't say anything. Words. He would just keep walking.
Keep walking in his slow, head bobbly
way. All right, Major League Baseball draft took a little bit of time out of the Big Five, so we're going to do this.
Number two. Number one.
The All-Star talk is heating up, and I'm curious to see what people are picking as the Padres representative. I've seen Chris Paddock, I've seen Tatis Jr., even though he's been injured for a while, Eric Hosmer, but I've yet to really see Kirby Yates being picked by the experts. Kirby leads all of baseball at 22 saves, and as you guys have been saying for weeks, he should be the representative for the Padres in the All-Star game. Tony, as the saves leader in baseball, is Kirby Yates underrated?
Who?
Kirby? Yates? Is he underrated?
Yes.
Well, you said, is Kirby Yates underrated? That's why he didn't know it.
No, I did not. Did I?
Yes, you did.
Pretty much, yeah.
Bring that audio back, because I did not believe that I said that.
You definitely said Kirby Yates.
Is Kirby Yates underrated?
Yes, he's underrated. He should be getting way more publicity than he is, and because he's in San Diego, I assume he's not. But he's definitely, in my mind, he's the best closer in the league right now. So, yes, he's very underrated. And the way he's going right now, I think we might be in for something special to watch for the rest of the season.
Chris?
Oh, I was waiting for
him. Oh, okay.
Point to me. If he doesn't make the All-Star team, they better like have an investigation into this
Absolutely.
Thing. Are you kidding me? Kirby Yates, season he's having, he has not blown one save. Now he did lose two games. I get that. But
by the way, those weren't even save opportunities when he came in.
Those were not save opportunities. He's got a 1.0 something ERA. He has struck out about 19 of the last 20 batters he's faced overall. I mean, he's just been wiping everybody out. I don't know that the Padres are a team that just gets one representative this year. I think they've got a couple of guys playing all-star caliber baseball, and Yates is one of them, and Hosmer's another.
First base is going to be a doozy this year.
It's crowded, but look, you got to take the guys that are doing the best job.
Can I make a quick programming note for tomorrow?
Sure.
3:15, we'll be joined by Phillies manager Gabe Kapler.
Oh, Gabe's coming on.
He is.
One of the best. He's on my favorite teammate list, for sure.
Oh, wait, you guys played together. That's
yes,
even better.
Did. We did. We played together in Milwaukee. We're going to step away and take a break.
Do you ever talk to Tony and stuff like off the air between shows and, you know, say, hey,
I mean,
you know
yes,
what, I might get
time.
Gabe Kapler on and he
I'm
says
not even going down
this
road. Not even going down that road.
Padres didn't fare so well against the Marlins over the weekend, and it doesn't get any easier with the Phillies in town. We'll talk about it. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Gwynn and Chris. Hopefully my guys can stop being mad at each other.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kyle Glazer, Baseball America. How are you, Kyle?
Good, good. Sorry to jump on with you guys a few minutes late here. It's a crazy day, as you can imagine.
You are.
Office.
You have reason to jump on late.
I think you get
late.
A pass, Kyle.
Yes, you
I think
are.
You, get a pass.
You are busy. I guess we'll start with just if you could tell us and the Padre fans as much as you know about their selection at number 6 overall, the shortstop out of Georgia, or not University of Georgia, but from the state of Georgia.
Yeah, C.J. Abrams, a high school shortstop, really considered one of the best athletes in this class, one of the best fastest runners. You see the quick twitch, can play shortstop, really excelled when he played center field for the U.S. 18 and under national team last summer. The hitting ability is just going to take some time and some refinement. You see all the tools to hit, the bat speed, the hand-eye coordination, but just kind of developing an approach. He's just very, very raw. You know, this isn't an advanced high school bat by any means. It's more of a really good athlete who's going to take, you know, a couple years to develop in the minors. And, you know, if everything clicks, you can envision an offensive, you know, top-of-the-order type threat with the bat while playing really good up-the-middle defense. And it's just going to take some time, and it kind of works out because the Padres have a lot of good shortstop prospects in their system. And, you know, if C.J. Abrams takes 5 years, it's not like that's going to set the franchise back in any way.
Kyle, you know, you look at this draft and you talk about those five guys ahead of C.J. Abrams. Was there a big gap in between first and sixth? Or is this one of those things where, you know, the talent was relatively equal? I know C.J. Abrams is a high school guy, and there were some college guys taken above him. But where do you see the, I guess, the quality of those first six picks?
Sure. So, I mean, Abrams kind of went in the tier he was expected to go. There's a very clear-cut top six in this draft, and the Padres were in that really nice position of, by having the top six picks, they were going to get whichever one fell to them. The hard decisions were going to kind of come before them. But within that top six, there was a clear delineation between the top three and picks 4, 5, and 6. Adley Rutschman, Andrew Vaughn, and Bobby Witt Jr., those were the three best players in this class. And really, number one, Adley Rutschman, was number one on an island. He's one of the best prospects to come through the draft in years. So in that sense, you know, that 4 to 6 range, C.J. Abrams was in that range of player, and he kind of went exactly where he should have. So again, a really, really talented player who was considered a top of the draft type of talent, but within that, he wasn't quite in that top three consideration. There was a pretty hard line between picks 1 to 3 and picks 4 to 6.
What is the, has things changed over the years, Kyle, in terms of the amount of time that kids are normally taking to develop and get to the big leagues? Because it sure seems to me like kids are getting there a lot faster now than they ever did before. I mean, just all over baseball, there are kids that are 19, 20, Tatis here in San Diego, but he's not the only one by a long shot. All over baseball, kids that are 20, 21 are not just playing, but thriving at the big league level.
Guys are definitely getting pushed faster than they've been before. I think in terms of are there more than ever, you know, it's tough because you're right. You see the Ronald Acuñas, you see the Juan Sotos, you see the Fernando Tatis type talents getting to the majors and doing some special things around age 20. But you're seeing those guys and you're not seeing the guys who are getting pushed really, really aggressively and struggling in Double-A. There's an 18-year-old in the national system who is pushed really hard. He's in Double-A. He's having a tough time. So I don't know if it's necessarily, you know, more successful than ever before. There have been talented 20-year-olds to come through. You had A-Rod in the mid-90s as an example. But we are seeing, in general, players being pushed faster than ever. And because of that, you're going to see a couple more successes just because they're being pushed faster.
And last thing, Kyle, before we let you go, because I know you're busy and it's very kind of you to come on a day like this, but Padres farm system, has anything changed in the last three to six months? I mean, still right up there with the tops in all of baseball?
Yeah, I mean, again, they're going to graduate a few guys. Like Chris Paddock has, you know, graduated from prospect eligibility, Fernando Tatis. So anytime you graduate those guys, you're going to maybe drop, you know, one or two or three spots in the farm system rankings. But that's a good thing. It's a good thing that you drop because you graduated instead of the majors. That's the point of all this. So, you know, this is still probably a top five farm system. You know, we have to see how the draft shakes out. We have to see how the trade deadline shakes out and who's still in the organization come August 1, as well as organizations around baseball. But there's still a lot of talent in the system. We've seen the guys come up and graduate these last two, 3 years, and there's another wave coming behind them.
Kyle, good stuff, man. Go back to work. This is the day that you prep for all year, man. Thanks for your help. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
You betcha. Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, on the day of the Major League Baseball Draft.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Talking some San Diego State basketball right now. Aztecs have a new assistant coach. Just got to San Diego, and we wanted to be one of the first to welcome him to town. Chris Acker joins us, formerly an assistant at Boise State. So not only do the Aztecs get a new coach, Tony, but we take one away from one of our competitors at Boise State. So welcome to San Diego, Mr. Acker. How are you?
I'm doing great. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
What went into your decision other than the fact that San Diego is a way nicer place than Boise?
a lot of it came down to the fact that I'm from California originally, and, you know, it was a great opportunity. I was fortunate enough to be able to come to a place that already has, you know, great tradition and, you know, a lot of people that really care about the program. So I just felt like, you know, I'm leaving a great place, but I'm fortunate enough to step into another great situation.
Chris, you're known as a defensive type of guy. It's something that you most consider you an expert at. San Diego State has really made their run here in the last 10, 15 years, really based off of defense. What is your goal coming into a school that has really been known for defense?
Well, just to add, you know, any aspect of my knowledge that I have, add that to, you know, what they already do so well. I mean, we all know what it comes down to is having really good players and players make plays. And it's just our job as coaches to put them in the right position and help them as much as possible. And I think the coaching staff at San Diego State has done a tremendous job with their recruiting. I've been able to talk to a few of the guys on the phone. These are great young men with great attitudes. And so, like I said, I'm just really looking forward to getting up there and working with them.
Chris Acker, the new men's basketball assistant coach at San Diego State, joining us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Leaving Boise State to come to San Diego State. I'm sure you've thought about this because you guys are going to play Boise State twice next year. Is that going to be an advantage or a disadvantage, do you think, going up against a team? I mean, I'm sure Leon Rice is going to tell your old team, you know, the kinds of things you're probably going to be trying to teach your new team, right?
Right. Well, you know, I mean, I think the pregame speeches and all of the things you say prior to the game and the scouting reports and all of those things you do prior to it have its part. But then, you know, plan B is the players make plays. So at the end of the day, it'll be the players out there battling and, you know, my relevancy will fade away quickly.
No, it won't. We expect all of the inside intel on Boise State for our guys. That's all we need.
Coach Acker, I want to ask you a little bit about while you were in Boise, you obviously coached up against this Aztec team. What are some of the things that you're excited to kind of put your own hands on this year for, based on what you saw from the guys that will be returning this year?
Well, I think, you know, Coach Dutcher and his staff done a tremendous job with these guys that are there. And, you know, you prepare for that game with the mindset that you're going to just try to do the best you can to leverage what you have versus what they have, and you just hope those guys miss shots. So I'm coming in with the mindset that, you know, I think I can help in some aspects and just helping these guys develop as players and young men. I think I do a pretty good job with skill development, and so just, you know, partnering with the staff that's already in place and picking their brain on what they do and trying to see, add a few little nuances here and there that I might be able to do to help those guys improve. But at the end of the day, like I said, I'm fortunate enough to be moving into a great situation. So, you know, I'll be myself when I get there, and I think that's the best thing I can add to it is just being who I am on a daily basis.
Chris, I've always been curious. We know what it's like to go to Viejas Arena and root for the Aztecs. What's it like to come to Viejas Arena as an opponent? Do you guys talk about that before? I mean, when you were with Boise, obviously, when you're coming to San Diego and playing against the show and the crazy fans and the great atmosphere there, is that something that teams prepare for when they come to San Diego?
Yeah, you know, I don't think you can simulate that in any workout. You can talk about it. But the reality of it is that's just a different environment. You know, I think it's, you know, it's definitely the best atmosphere on the West Coast, if not one of the best atmospheres in the country. I've been to a lot of facilities and a lot of arenas and been a part of games, but, you know, San Diego fans and the energy in that gym, they do a tremendous job. So you try to prepare as best you can for it, but when you get out there, you know you're going to be in a war, not just against the five guys on the floor, but definitely the six man that's out in the stands for sure.
Well, welcome to our fine city. I'm glad we have some nice, sunny, well, overcast, Boise-type weather for you today. But wanted to make you feel comfortable for the first day. But I'm sure once it gets into wintertime, you're going to be really happy that you're here and not there. Chris, best of luck, man. Have a great season. Tell Coach Dutch we say hi, and we'll catch up with you guys soon.
All right, sounds good. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. Appreciate
you. Take care, Chris.
Taking the time. Chris Acker joining us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Nominate SDCCU Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Readers Poll daily at sdccu.com/nominate. San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.